heart, church. Psalm 1. Just felt the Lord saying this week to close, sit, stand, walk this Sunday. Look at it with us one more time here. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Where do you sit? Where do you stand? Where do you walk? Who do you sit with? Who do you stand with? Who do you walk with? What do you delight in? Verse 2, do you delight in the law? Do you meditate on it day and night? If so, you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. There's some discouragement right now because the fruit hasn't come forth yet. I'm telling you, when it's the right season, it's going to happen. Don't let the delay discourage you. Don't let the delay discourage you right now. You feel like you've been planted. You feel like, oh, I've been coming to church. I've been coming for 3 weeks. Good. Come for 3 months, see what happens. Come for 3 years, see what changes. Your life will never look the same again. Get planted in the house of the Lord. You'll be fresh and flourishing. In the right season, you'll be fruitful. In the hard seasons, you'll be rooted. In the difficult seasons, you'll have roots so deep that the devil cannot uproot you unless you choose to let him. Don't let him. Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. We see the wicked rise up fast and quick. But God's word says that they're like grass. They wither. They're like chaff. They wither and are blown away. They do not last. You might be looking at somebody's life right now, saying, I wish I had that. I desire that. I want that. What are you doing? You're coveting. You're coveting. You're saying what you have isn't good enough. What they have is better. You want that, but you don't realize what they're living in, what they're walking in, who they're sitting with, who they're standing with. And I'm telling you, it might look like it's quick and it's easy for them, but you don't see the full picture. You might just catch a snapshot. You might just see a highlight on Instagram, but you don't see what's going on every other day, every other hour. You just see a snapshot of a moment. And you're coveting over that moment, but you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what every other second, every other moment looks like for them. Don't be dissatisfied with the season that he's got you in. Stay planted. Let your roots grow deep. You'll become fruitful in the right season. It'll be fruit that will reproduce in season year after year after year. Until even when you're in your old age, you'll still be fresh and flourishing, Psalm 92 tells us. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray right now. Holy Spirit, please come have your way in us. Jesus, we honor you. Lord, we give you all the honor. We know that you're seated next to the Father. Father, we know that we have access to heaven through your Son, Jesus. And so we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Would the heavens open for somebody? Somebody that's been waiting, somebody that's been in a delay, somebody that's been just, they just need a sign that their season is coming. Lord, I pray that you would just give somebody in here today a sign that their season is coming, to be patient, to hold on, to not lose hope. Lord, that where there's been a sickness of the heart, that you would just bring healing and that you would change our desires to match your desires. Because we know when that happens, it says in your word that you'll give us the desires of our hearts. Why? Because our hearts line up with your heart. Lord, let our hearts line up with heaven's heart today, with your heart, Father. Jesus, where our heart has been coveting, where our heart has been dissatisfied, Lord, I pray that there would be repentance today, that there would be a renewal, that there would be a fresh cleansing, and that you would just change and transform our hearts to match your heart today. Jesus, in your name we pray. Lord, have your way in us. Amen. Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. I felt that earlier in this series, and I just felt him saying, you need to go back to that today. I just felt like this past week, for myself and for others, there's probably people in here that feel like, man, I fell again this last week. Why did I fall? Why did I fall? And what the devil does when you fall, or when there's a delay, or there's some kind of discouragement, or there's some kind of defeat in your life, what he comes in and what he does is says you're all the way back at zero. In fact, you're below zero. You're down in the negative. That's what he does. That's what he does. So I was thinking about that this week. And I told you a couple weeks ago, I like to play this game on my phone. It's called Versal. It's like Wordle, but with Bible verses, okay? So you get like 5 guesses. They give you the verse. You get 5 guesses to guess the book, the chapter, the verse. And so sometimes, you know, you got to, you know, you kind of puzzle it and you figure it out. I told my friends earlier this week, I think I was on a 57-day streak. Like I hadn't missed in 57 days. I fell this week. You know what happens in Versal? You don't just get to come back the next day and start at 57. You go all the way back to zero. You're a loser. You're a loser. You lost. And so I had to send that. It's such a, you know, I got this friend group. We have this chat. We share our scores every day. It's a text of shame, you know. I got to text my friends. And part of me is like, nah, I don't need to text them. I just won't message my score today. No, that's not integrity, all right? We have integrity in this group. We're honest. I sent my failure to them. They're all, you know, they all got it. They're all feeling good. Oh, that was an easy one. You didn't get that? They're like, yeah, I see you. Yeah, you roasting me. Yeah. You got to go all the way back to zero. I just want to encourage somebody in here. If you fell this past week, you're not going all the way back to zero. It's different with the Lord. There's not a lot of grace in Versal. There's a lot of grace in the kingdom. I need to show you something. I need you to see this visually. I've been using this illustration for a long time. When I was in youth ministry, anytime a kid got baptized, which we have a high school student and a couple of adults getting baptized today, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's so good. And hey, if at the end of this service you're like, I want to get baptized. I've never made that decision. I want to submit my life to the Lord. It's a step of submission. It's a step of obedience. Say yes to him today. Don't miss this. The water's hot. It feels good. And we'll get you a shirt when you leave. But I need you to see this. I used to tell kids this all the time, and I still tell people this. You're getting baptized. When you come out of that water, I mean, it's like you go from zero to 100. When you give your life to the Lord, when you just say yes to him, when you confess Jesus as Lord, there's nothing like it. You're on fire. You come into a moment of worship. We had a couple moments of worship today. It was just on fire today. You could feel it. Wildfire, right? Like just singing that over and over. The fire of the Holy Ghost. You could feel it. You know he was moving. And then so you have these moments, these mountaintop moments where you're so close to the Lord. How many times did Moses have mountaintop moments where he was there speaking to the Lord, listening to the Lord, getting the law from the Lord? He was on a mountaintop. There's nothing like it. But there's also nothing like when you come down from the mountain like Moses did, and you see all your friends, all your family, all your people in your life have turned away from the Lord, and they made a false idol, and they're worshiping idols, and all of a sudden you come down from the mountain into the real world, and it's just so discouraging. It's a defeat. You just feel like you want to give up. You just feel like you want to quit. How many times do we have these moments? And so I used to tell kids this, and I still tell people this. You're going to be on fire. You're going to be excited. Some of you were here last week for Easter service. And some of you were so excited. In fact, I've heard some stories this week. I heard stories about people like, man, like they came forward for prayer. They gave their life to Jesus, whatever it was. And you're on fire this week. But then all of a sudden, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday hits, and something happens. And something comes up, and there's distractions, and there's things pulling you away, and maybe there's even a moment of defeat, or maybe there's even some kind of delay in a miracle that you were believing for that you thought the Lord was going to answer. There's something that happens. There's a detour, and you're like, what's going on, Lord? I thought I was just on the path, and I was just going like mountaintop to mountaintop, glory to glory. And yes, we move glory to glory, but how will you move through the valleys? Will you still continue to fight your way to the next moment? Will you fight your way to the next mountain? Or will you let it stop right there in the valley? Will that defeat end it for you? And so I would tell kids, you're going to get discouraged in those moments. When something happens, when somebody comes after you, when somebody says something negative to you, when somebody attacks you, the battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities of the unseen world. The devil is trying to discourage you and defeat you this week and every week. And so I would tell kids, it's like a stock chart. All of a sudden, you begin. You're born again. And what happens? The stock, boom. I mean, you just shot up 0 to 10. It's like you were nothing. You were nobody. You were a sinner. And all of a sudden, you're a sinner saved by grace. And all of a sudden, what's he want to do? He wants to take you into sainthood, sanctification. He wants to change and transform your life. And so it's like a stock chart. You got that picture? Show me that stock chart. I use Chipotle because, you know, why not? If I was investing, I would definitely invest in Chipotle. Look, I mean, look at this. All the way back here at the beginning, what are we at? We're at zero. And we just, oh, man, there's a little bit of rise. There's a little bit of rise. What happens, though, in a stock chart? There's dips. There's moments where it falls. And everybody in those moments, what are they saying to you in those moments when you fall, when things don't go the way that you thought they were going to go? What's the devil saying? What's he whispering to you? Quit. Give up. Sell. He's telling you to sell. I don't know. I heard some people talking about tariffs and things like that a few weeks back, and like the stock market took a dip or whatever, and everybody was like, sell, sell, sell. What should you have done? Buy the dip. Buy the dip because it's going back up again. That's not political. That's just the Lord. Buy the dip. Title of my message today, buy the dip. Buy the dip. Some of you like that can you keep in your back pocket? No. Different kind of dip. Buy the dip, all right? Sorry. I don't know why I said that. Hey. Because look, over time, even when you hit those dips, it's discouraging, right? It's like, oh, man, I'm never going to rise again. What do the righteous do? The righteous rise again. What's Chipotle do? It rises again. Oh, my goodness. Do you remember the E. coli breakout of 2016? Do you remember? I remember that. Do you think I stopped buying Chipotle? No, I did not. They took a dip, right? They took a bad dip. And then all of a sudden, what happens? we start to see, man, COVID was good for Chipotle. Like 2020, everybody else was falling. But Chipotle was like, no, people are going to be buying. They had to need some good food in this season. All of a sudden, what are we doing? We're rising. We're rising. Do you see this in the Christian life? I feel the Holy Spirit coming on. You're getting a revelation right now. It's not Chipotle, it's the Holy Spirit. He's giving you a revelation right now. This is just putting a picture to it, and you can see it right now. Even when you fell, every time you fell, look how much farther you've come than from the very beginning. Look at that. Every time you fell, every dip, look how much higher you are than where you began. And the devil's trying to say, you're back at zero. No, no, the Lord is saying, look how far you've come. Look how far you've come, son. Look how far you've come, daughter. You're further than when you started. That's sanctification. That's transformation. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's doing it in you. I'm telling you, I know, because I was just a little bit like, I don't even know what was going on this week. But I kind of got back into some stuff where I was like, I used to watch TV and movies a lot, too much, unhealthy amount. Like, here's my confession time to you. I started watching movies again late at night. And what did I do? At the end of that movie, I'm just like, did I feel filled up? Did I feel fulfilled? Did I feel stronger? Did I feel like closer to the Lord? No, I just kind of felt like, almost just like, what am I doing? For me, like movies and TV have become like a comfort food in my life, especially when I was in ministry for a long time before I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I did ministry a long time out of my own flesh. And what I would do is I would just, after a long, hard day, I would just come home and I would after everybody went to bed, I would just watch TV. I would watch movies. What was I doing? I was numbing myself. For some people, it's drugs. For some people, it's alcohol. For some people, it's sex. For some people, it's pornography. It's a numbing agent. For some people, it's food. There's some numbing agents that are more socially acceptable than others. But it's still the same thing. What are you trying to do? You're just trying to get numb. But what's the Lord want to do? He wants to do some heart work. So if you find yourself in this season feeling like you're falling, feeling like you're failing, and feeling like, oh man, I'm all the way back at zero, I want to encourage you. You're not all the way back at zero. Look how far he's brought you. Look all the way back. Remember what he brought you out of at the very beginning when you said yes to him. And look how much further he's brought you. That's what I realized, because I was kind of beating myself up over that this week. I was like, what am I doing? Like, I just spent 3 nights in a row watching movies. And listen, watching a movie isn't a sin. If you like movies and TV, that's great. That's fine. But for me, like, the Lord had convicted me in the season prior to this. You don't need to waste so much of your time doing that, because I want you to spend more time with me, son. And so I don't know what it might be for you. It might be music. Maybe you just want to get numb and you just want to get lost and you don't want to spend time trying to sit with him and listen to his voice, trying to slow down and just hear him speak to you. And so what are you trying to do? You turn the music up, you turn the movies up, you turn the volume up, and you're just, what are you doing? You're trying to get numb. You're trying not to feel anything. For some of you, it's a drink, and then it's another drink, and then it's another drink. He wants to heal you of that. He wants to set you free today. For some of you, it's food. I get it. I've had a lot of hard days, a lot of sad days where I'm like, I just need some Chipotle. Or I need some nothing bundt cake. I don't know, that's just a weird one, but I like that one. What is it? Like, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? He wants to speak to you. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you. That's what he does. For some of you, it might be vaping. You might have one. You might be hitting that thing as you're walking up to church, as you're walking out of church. You might be having to leave halfway through service, and you have to go to the bathroom and take a hit of that thing. I'm telling you, he wants to set you free today. He does. And there's no shame. Like, there's no shame. Like, I was just kind of feeling a little bit of, like, just I was just kind of anger and mad at myself. Like, what am I doing? And the Lord just, he brought me back to actually what it used to be for me. And what it used to be for me back when I was in ministry trying to do ministry for 12, 13, 14 years out of my own flesh, my own power, my own strength, not filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be sealed. The Holy Spirit will seal you for salvation. You can be saved, but not baptized in the Holy Spirit, just so you know. And so if you start to go through kind of a checklist of it, do you have the fruit of the Spirit? That's a great test right there. Do you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Are you walking in all those areas? Do you feel the Holy Spirit just bubbling up and growing you in all those areas? If not, that's a good test. That's how we say this around here. Check the fruit. Check the fruit. Is there fruit of the Holy Spirit being produced in your life? Is that being produced right now? If you're struggling in some of those areas, that's like a check engine light. If you're having a hard time being patient, I had a hard time, the more I'm watching these movies or TV shows, I have a harder time being patient with my kids. I have a harder time being gentle. I have a harder time being kind. Well, what am I doing? Am I eating from God's word or am I eating from the world? I'm eating from the world. I'm consuming what you see, what you speak, what you listen to. What are you doing? You're consuming. You're consuming the world and not the word. You're not consuming the bread of life. And so what was I doing? I was consuming more of the world these last few days than the word. I was eating more from what the world had to offer than the word. And so what did I notice? Oh, the check engine light's kind of on in my life. I'm getting mad a little quicker. I'm less patient. I'm less gentle. What does gentleness do? Gentleness, it says God, his gentleness, David wrote in Psalms, brought out David's greatness. If you're a parent in here, your gentleness will bring out your child's greatness that God has placed inside of them. That's a huge responsibility. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, all of a sudden, when you read those words of David in the Psalms and you see that, that's what he said about his father, the Lord. He said, your gentleness made me great. It wasn't David's own strength, his own power. No. It was God's gentleness, his kindness, his grace, his sweetness towards him, his mercy towards him. Even when he messed up, even when he fell, David repented because he knew he had a gentle father. Parents, your gentleness will bring out your kids' greatness. Some of you, you're not parents yet. You're going to be, but the Lord wants to teach you to be more gentle in this season. He wants to teach you gentleness in this season. So as I'm doing this heart check, the check engine lights come on, and I'm sitting with the Lord last night, and I finally, what do? I finally just, oh, maybe I should open this. Like, maybe I should just put the clicker down and open this, and I just start to read. And what happens? Just everything starts to soften. All the hardness, all the anger, all the meanness, all the bitterness. And sometimes what's going on is you just don't even want to figure out what's going on inside of you. You know something's wrong. You know you're hurt. You know you're just getting, you got a little bit of bitterness or something going on, and you just want to forget about it. And so you go to that thing that helps you forget. I just want to encourage you, put that thing down today. Put that thing down today because he wants to draw greatness out of you. He doesn't want you to just get by day after day, getting numb day after day, month after month, year after year, just trying to forget what happened, trying to forget the pain, trying to forget the hurt. No. He wants to heal you through his gentleness, through his kindness. And as he heals you, it brings greatness out of you. It brings fruit out of your life. Fruit that lasts, fruit that's eternal, fruit that will change the lives of the people that are around you. Right, Gray? I know you hear that, Gray. You're always helping me preach. That's a kid who's growing up with parents that are gentle. There's going to be greatness that comes out of his life. He's growing up in a church that's gentle and kind. The kids in this house, they're going to grow up to be great in the name of the Lord. Why? Because parents, they encourage their kids. Some of you, you notice, we have kids that come up here and worship. And some of you might be like, well, they're getting a little disorderly or a little crazy. Like, we should probably, you know. No, We're going to be gentle. We're going to teach them. We're going to instruct them. How many times, you know, if you're watching me up here, how many times did I gently say, hey, don't hit each other. Don't kick each other. That's not how we worship. It doesn't say in Psalms, kick your brother to praise the Lord. But you really believe that, don't you? Go back to the word. The gentleness in this house is going to bring greatness from what's going on. Oof, they're underneath us, right? What's going on underneath the soil of this church? There's going to be greatness that springs up from this basement. There's going to be greatness that springs up. Praise the Lord. Pastor Eleni up here, praising. Man, I felt her baby just experiencing the fire of the Lord up here. There's wombs in here. There's wombs in here that are filled with a child that are growing up with the fire of the Lord. There's wombs in here that haven't opened yet. I'm just believing they're going to open as the Lord is teaching you gentleness in this season. It's greatness in this house. Buy the dip. The Lord wants you to keep going. The devil wants you to quit during the dip. He wants you to sell. He wants you to be like, Jesus ain't for me. The church ain't for me. The Lord ain't for me. Nobody's for me. I'm going to be for myself. No. Don't believe that lie. You might spring up for a season. You might have a little bit of success for a season, but it says you'll be like grass. You'll fade away. You'll be like chaff. You'll be blown away. It won't last. And some of you, you come from a family where generationally you've been nothing but chaff. Your mom was chaff. Your grandma was chaff. Your grandpa was chaff. Generation after generation, they just chased after the things of this world. And what did you see? They didn't leave anything that lasted. They didn't produce fruit that lasted. I'm saying this for some of you in here. You're going to break generational curses. Some of you in here, you're going to change your family. You're going to change the direction of your family. Your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters. Some of you, it's already happening because you're making a choice to say, I'm going to get planted in the house of the Lord. It starts with you. It's going to change generations. I don't know why I looked at you, but I feel like that's for you. You're going to change generations. Buy the dip. Don't sell right now. That's fear. For God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Hold on to that in this season. The devil's trying to get you to quit. He's trying to get you to sell. No. You hold. In fact, you buy more. You buy more. I'm digging in deeper in this season. I'm buying more in this season. Because I'm looking back at where I started, and I know where he brought me out of, and I'm not going to let the devil discourage me, because I know even when I fall, I'm going to get up again, because I've been called to righteousness. Get up again, son. Get up again, daughter. Even when I fall 7 times, get up again. You know what that tells me? The righteous aren't perfect. The righteous persevere. If you're taking notes, write that down. You need to take notes. This is a note-taking church, because when you write things down, it is scientifically proven. It goes into your mind. It will begin to stay there. But if you're just like, oh, that's good, Pastor, that's good, and then you just go out, you forget about it. You didn't do anything about it. But when you take notes, I'm telling you, handwrite. Some of you are like, you got your phone out. You're like, you're typing. It's not the same. When you write it with your hand, it will change and transform. There is something that happens. You do a physical action with your hand and you write it. All of a sudden, it starts to get inside of you. It becomes a part of you. It changes and restructures your DNA. I'm serious. You just begin to write stuff down. Just begin to write scripture out. Just get into a psalm this week and just begin to write it out by hand. Some of you, you're going to get about 2 lines in and your hand's going to cramp because you haven't written in a long time. Time to get strong again. Time to build up those muscles again. You've been relying too much on the thumb. Use it all right? Use it all. Pick up a pencil. Pick up a pen. Get a journal. We got journals out there. Today, journals are free. I don't care. Take one. I know Brandon just got up here talking about finances. I love giving away stuff. I love giving away stuff. I don't care. You want a Bible? Take one. Begin to write it out. Write out his word. It will change and transform you. I felt discouraged. I felt discouraged. But then the Lord, in his gentleness, he reminded me, look how far you've come. And he reminded me, why did I tell you to close that door in the beginning? And he brought me back to 4 years ago when we started revival, when the Lord began to just move and just set things in place for this church to open and begin to meet and gather together. And when I first really began to fall back in love and really just get reintroduced to the Holy Spirit, when I first became a Christian, it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me and convicted me. He cut me right to the heart. And then along the way, there were moments where I was like, I think I'm hearing from the Lord. And I would just step into obedience, even if it looked crazy. I remember the Lord telling me early on, I was probably 19, 20, and I remember the Lord telling me, hey, you need to speak to your friends about their faith, your old high school, middle school friends. And so I called them up. We got together. We went out to eat. And I just shared the gospel. I shared what the Lord had done in my life. They didn't really receive it. They were like, oh, that's cool. That's great. You know, but they didn't come to the Lord in that moment. It's not about them. It's about your obedience. That's one thing you need to know. Sometimes he's going to tell you to do something. It's not about how it's received. It's just about, will you be obedient to the Lord's voice in your life? But I remember having all these moments where I felt the Lord speaking to me. And then I would bring these things up, what I felt like the Lord was saying, what he was speaking. And there were these older Christians that, you know, they had degrees and they had years of, they had PhDs and they were scholars and all these things. And they'd been working in the church a long time. And what happened when I would meet with them and kind of share what I felt like the Lord speaking, they would just make jokes about it. They would cut it down. They would say, well, he doesn't really speak like that. That's not really how the Lord works. And they would just chop away, chop away, chop away. That was who I was sitting with, that was who I was standing with, and that was who I was walking with. I didn't have anybody in my life during that season that was truly walking with the Lord, listening to his voice, that was filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing in him. In fact, when I look back on those seasons, if I were to do a fruit check today, I could see that there was a lot of fruit missing from many of those people's lives. And sometimes I get a little bit mad, but really I believe the heart of the Father is sad. There's a little bit of anger, but it's mixed with sadness. I'm thankful that in this season that the Lord just, he opened my eyes again to see that the Holy Spirit still moves, he still speaks, that the gifts are still for today, that he wants to activate his church, that he wants to speak to you as a son, as a daughter, that he wants you to spend time with him, that he's going to give you everything you need when you get into his presence. He wants that. But in that season of my life, who I was sitting with, who I was standing with, who I was walking with, they just used this as a textbook. And they just used their own voice as his voice, looking back on it. What they wanted, what they desired. But praise the Lord for revival. Not just this church. I'm saying revival in this nation. There's a revival happening. There's a return to the Holy Spirit. My goodness, I talked to a brother last week here in this house. They just found our church recently. And they come from Texas. And they shared with me. They shared that they were at a church down there and we were kind of talking. And he mentioned there's some good churches down there. I said, yeah, there are some good churches. There's one I really like. Mercy Culture. And he was like, that's where we're from. That's our church. I was like, praise the Lord. It's a sign you're here. But we kept sharing and talking. And he said they'd been looking for a church for 2 years in this city. And they were almost ready to move back to Texas. And they just found our church a few weeks back. And they said, praise the Lord. He's here. He's moving. I said, yes, he is. And they shared he had had a vision, a dream recently. And there was this person, and the person had duct tape over their mouth. And it was here in this city, and it was the Holy Spirit. I said, yes. Yeah. Like, he's been duct taped for a long time in this city. The duct tape's coming off. The Holy Spirit is on the move again. He's moving. Thank you, brother, for that dream. Thank you. It's true. He's been duct taped. He's been restrained. He's been grieved in this city. But there's a revival happening. There's something happening. There's a move of God that's happening. People are learning to listen to his voice again. Sit with him this week. Just sit in the silence. Turn off all the distractions. Turn off everything. And just sit and listen. Put down that thing that you've been trying to get numb with. Let him bring some things up. Let him bring some healing into your life. That's what he wants to do this week. As you sit with him, as you listen to his voice, I'm telling you, there's going to be a healing, a transformation that happens. Today at the altar, if you got something on you and you just want to leave it at the altar, if you got cigarettes, if you got drugs, if you got, man, something, if you just want to come and lay it down at the altar, I'm telling you, that physical sacrifice, when you lay it down at the altar, he's going to set you free in a moment. You got a vape pen you've been holding on to thinking, I need this, I need this, I need this. You don't need it anymore. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying and believing there's healing and there's freedom right now for you. If it's a relationship you've been holding on to, and it's just like comfort food, you just keep going back because that physical connection, it's something you feel tied to, you feel connected to, you feel like you need it. In the name of Jesus, you don't need it anymore. He wants to restore relationships back to the way they were designed in covenant. One husband, one wife. That's what he's doing in this season. He's restoring relationships. Let him restore it. Proverbs 28:1. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. It says this in Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. There's no fear. There's no timidity. We don't sell when those hard seasons come. We don't sell in the valley. We don't sell during the dip. No, no, no. We hold and then we buy more. We buy more. We open up the word and we buy, we buy, we buy. Because we stand on the word of God. It's the truth. It never changes. All scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. No, no, we buy in this season. So if there's been a delay, if there's been a detour, I'm just encouraging you, hold on to the word. Who's the word? It's Jesus. Buy today. Buy. Buy more of him today. Lay your life down for more of him. Lay that thing down. And look back at the very beginning. Look back at how far he's brought you from that moment you said yes. And if you haven't said yes, say yes to him today. Say yes to him today. Ministry team, would you come up here? I just feel like somebody's going to say yes today. If you want to say yes today, come up here and find somebody in our ministry team. Would you just stand up, church, as we get ready to worship? We're going to celebrate with some baptisms here in a moment. If you're ready to say yes, don't miss this moment. You can come up today. You can say yes today. He's gentle. He's kind. It says in Romans, his kindness brings us to repentance. His kindness brings us to repentance. He's gentle and kind. He loves you. He wants to transform you. He wants to change your life. There's no shame at the altar. When we come to the altar, there's freedom, there's joy, there's kindness, there's gentleness. There's greatness inside of you. He wants to draw that out today. Just say yes to him. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Lord, thank you for Delilah. Thank you for Matt. Thank you for Dina for saying yes to you. Lord, I pray that they would continue to say yes to you. that they would continue to buy every time. Whether it's in the valley or on the mountain, they'd continue to hold on to you, that they'd never let go, because we know you never let go. Jesus, I pray for the Holy Spirit's mouth to be unleashed, to be open in this city, in this state. Lord, I pray for the church to take the duct tape off. In the name of Jesus, I pray that we would take the duct tape off today, that we would listen to your voice, that we would sit in your presence, that you would restore what was broken, what was hurt, that we would never be the same again, in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's praise him.